Blog Talk Radio.
Mr. Pop.
Views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Today is January 25th, 2017. If you're listening live and you want to call in and join the discussion, feel free to call us at 646-668-8467. You can also tweet us at Stay Out of Crease and follow us on Facebook at Stay Out of My Crease. And also our email address is stayoutofmycrease@gmail.com. We are also syndicated on Arena Sports Network on Thursday nights. And you can find them on Twitter at Arena Sports Network or Facebook at Arena Sports Networks. So it's been an interesting week this week in hockey. Big All-Star break is coming up. The big All-Star break is coming up this weekend. So I'm going to go ahead and bring in Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, hello. Yeah, All-Star break weekend, which is good for most of the NHL because they don't have to play. They can get a few days off and kind of get rested
right.
And heal up some,
like
some of those
second bye week.
Lower body injuries.
Yes. Quite a few of them this year.
Right. Although most of the players seem to be playing this year in the All-Star game. I think Malkin, as far as I know, is the only one that's not going to be playing that should be playing. So,
right. Yeah, he took a big knee-on-knee hit last night. He finished the game, but he was limping off of the ice every time his shift would end. So it was for him to limp off the ice, it's something major because he's not one to just kind of give up and you know, go off for an injury.
Right. Well, and the 3-on-3 game isn't exactly his forte. You know, he's not exactly, that's not his style, you know, so he could, I mean, there's a lot of potential for him to injure that even more. So, and by sitting
right.
out tomorrow's game, you know, that'll give him probably almost a whole week off. So, you know, that's probably what he needs. So,
yeah, I think it is. I know my Penguins are very, very injured right now. We just lost Cullen for a month and in the big Washington game, broken foot. So, and everybody who knows Matt Cullen and his career, he's probably not taking being off the ice as well as other people would be.
Oh, exactly. He's probably driving the trainers crazy right now, trying to get
like,
back
let me
out
back
there.
In. My skate fits. You know, but that's a veteran for you. So, but yeah, there have been a lot of injuries. I watched the Toronto Maple Leafs game tonight, and their goaltender, he was hurting by the end of that game. His calf had connected with the post, and he got bowled over a couple of times.
Yeah, well, that's kind of the nature of that. You know, I mean, that's why they wear those pads that are so ridiculously big, you know, to hopefully,
right.
you know, cut down on that, but you know, you hit the post just wrong, you're going to hit it just wrong. And usually, when you hit it, you don't, you know, you hit it in a spot where the pads don't actually protect you. So,
right, yeah, because there's, I mean, you know, you think about all these lower body injuries, there's not much padding on the knees or the skates. So, when they get hit with a puck there or even a board check wrong, you know, they're going to be hurting for a while.
Yeah, for the most part, though, they're hockey players. They get right back out there. They'll finish the game. They might be hurt for the next one, but they usually finish the game, kind of like Malkin did, you know.
Right.
And lower body injury is such a – or upper body injury. Just, I mean, just the way that they do that in the NHL, it's just, you know, you don't really know for sure what it is that, you know, that why they're out. You know, is it because, like you say, they got hit in the shin with a puck, or you know, did they, you know, take a puck in the leg, or did they, you know, get run into the boards, or you know, or what happened? So,
right.
Or was it just dumb luck? You know, I mean, that happened
too.
Yeah. So.
I don't know. I mean, at the game last night, for people who did not get to watch the Penguin Blues game last night, the Penguins got shut out, but it was still a really good game to watch, except for the Blues are so much bigger than our team, and they definitely hit a lot more. So they were very, very physical in that game. They came to win, that's for sure.
And that's what you got to do against, especially, you know, that a lot of the teams, you know, in the Metropolitan Division are smaller. And, you know, and then you go against some of the bigger teams like Chicago or you know, San Jose or, you know, St. Louis or whatever coming up from the West, or even, you know, I guess even Philadelphia to some extent in from the East. You know, the easiest way to do it is, you know, to take them out of their game is just, you know, hit them early and often, you know, and that kind of tires out the smaller, you know, it takes that quickness away. You know, by the second or third period.
Right. Especially with, you know, the smaller teams, when you plug up that neutral zone and you're hitting and wearing them down that way in the first two periods, you're going to take away their speed game. And that seems to be what a lot of the Metropolitan Division teams have done. They've gotten a little bit smaller and a little bit quicker. So when they compare to, like, your Western Conference teams, like your Wild and your Blues and the Kings, they don't match up well when it comes to the physicality of it.
Oh, right. So. And then, well, St. Louis also did get some pretty good goaltending. You know, they left, what's his name, Alan? Well, I guess he made the trip, but he didn't suit up. So, and Hutton came out of nowhere and had just a phenomenal game. And it's like, well, that's the last thing we need is for St. Louis to get a hot goaltender.
Well, you know, and it's funny because Hutton had, like, three shutouts going into last night's game, and two of them were against the Penguins. So.
Yeah, they said something about that he's never been scored on in that arena.
Nope, he has not.
Kind of interesting.
Yes,
quirky
it is. Works. It is, isn't it? And then he could go somewhere, like, they could go play their next game, say they're, I don't remember who they're playing right off the top of my head, but they could start him and he could have a completely different game just because, I mean, I guess he feels at home at the Paint Can, PPG Paints Arena, I don't know.
Lighting must be just perfect or something.
Must be, I don't know, maybe he likes the ice, I don't know. I also want to mention to our listeners, too, Valentine's Day is coming up, and of course, Jimmy and I wanted to have a lot of fun with this. And we've had a lot of our female listeners ask, why can't you do the top 10 hottest hockey players? Well, we are going to do a special show on Valentine's week. It's not Valentine's Day, but the week of Valentine's. I'm going to offer this question on social media. I'm in a great all-female hockey fan group, so I'm going to pose the question there. And I'm going to compile a list of the top 10 hottest hockey players. Whereas Jimmy, for you guys, because who wants to hear about hot hockey players if you're a man? But Jimmy is actually going to be doing the top 10 hardest hitters. And
yeah,
we are also going
to... When we first discussed this, I was really happy we chose, you know, that you got the hottest and I got the hitters, because otherwise it would have been a little more difficult for both of us, I think.
Yes, it would have. I think we would have been calling each other, okay, what's your input on this one?
Exactly.
But we're also going to pose that question on our social medias as well, so that people, our listeners and our fans, can pipe in with their nominee. And we'll see if they make the list. So that should be fun. I wanted to get that out so that we have a couple of weeks to get that going. And, yeah, I can really sit and watch a couple more hockey games. Sometimes it's hard to determine, you know, who's attractive and who's not, because sometimes you just can't see through their mask. Whereas Jimmy's is a lot easier. He knows who's hitting.
Right. Yeah, you don't need to see their face to know if they're hitting or not. So.
That's right. That's right. So we are actually going to take our first set of commercial breaks here, and we will come back and get into the questions that were sent to us this week. We have some awesome questions like we always do. You guys really like to make us think, and I love it. So if we will be right back after these quick commercial breaks.
Detroit Rock City Promotions, everything you need for your party, wedding, show, or event. DJ services, tent setup, table and chairs, mobile stages, sound and lighting, photography, on-staff reverend. Book DRCP Army today at 810-627-9773. That number again is 810-627-9773. Or find us on the web at DetroitRockCityPromotions.com.
Big Worm Customs is a company that does it all, from design services to home improvements to vehicle customization, all at great prices and payment options.
Call now for your free estimate, 248-595-6618, 248-595-6618, or online at facebook.com/bigwormcustoms.
Okay, guys, we are back, and we're going to jump in here to our mailbag segment. Jimmy, we had some great questions this week. I'm always amazed at the questions that get asked and having to research some of them. So our first question comes from Kitty, and she wants to know, is hockey becoming more popular due to the decline of other sports such as the NFL?
Well, I know the NFL is on a decline as far as ratings. I don't necessarily know that that translates to the NHL.
Right. I have to laugh because, you know, I also follow other sports besides hockey, just not as closely as I do hockey. But during the playoffs of the NFL, I have seen a lot of social media posts come through on my feed and in other groups that I'm in and whatnot. And everybody was kind of like, you know, I'm kind of done with the NFL, and I think I'm going to give hockey a try. And I was actually quite amazed by that. I'm like, really? Because you got different seasons coming on. I mean, there are, basketball season and then baseball season will be starting here in a couple of months. But I was really shocked that, you know, people are actually not going to watch the biggest game in the NFL, and they're planning on watching, you know, other things like hockey games that are on that Sunday and just doing things with their family. I agree with you.
People get a little frustrated too when it comes to the NHL, especially when they start watching. The NFL, especially when they start watching more of the NHL game, because you know in football you play for 5 seconds and then you got 25 seconds in the huddle and you come back out, and then you know it seems like every couple of minutes you got a commercial break. Yeah, because this happened or that happens, and now we got to take a break for, 3-4 minutes, and it's like never really seems to get any momentum. Whereas in hockey, it just kind of just keeps flowing and flowing and flowing, and then eventually the puck gets stuck, and they go, oh crap, we haven't had a commercial in a half an hour. We better have one now. So
right,
it's a little different. And then MSNBC has been covering, a couple 3 nights a week now, so it's getting more exposure. That helps, And they're having more set nights where, like tonight, every Wednesday, you're going to get a good game.
Right. Yep.
And you're gonna you get high quality announcers.
Right.
That don't really root for any one team and don't tell you how good, this player is the best player ever. They just, tell you that, they happen to be playing good that game or not that game.
Right. Just like we'll use an example here, and I got the biggest kick out of this. There was the Sunday game was on NBCSP, and it was the Penguins and the Boston Bruins. And after the game, the guy on NHL, it was on NHL Network, and the guy on NHL Network was like, Malkin is very graceful, and I just laughed. I was like, but I knew he meant, like me personally, I knew he meant, a particular play. But to hear that come out like that just made me giggle. But they are, they're very, you know, non-biased, and especially if you get to listen to Doc announce, he tells you, and I think this is a great thing, he tells you what colleges they're from. And for me,
well,
it's kind of nice
what,
to know.
Yeah, he tells you what colleges they're from. He tells you, you know, what, you know, if, what high schools they went to, you know, what state they came from. He tells you, you know, what, where they played juniors and all that kind of stuff. I mean, he's got that information in front of him, and, you know, the rest of us don't. So it's nice to know that, you know, this guy's from, you know, Wilmer, Minnesota or whatever. That guy's from Madison, Wisconsin or what have you.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a big part of it, is they're really making a pretty good show out of it. And it's become more entertaining, and their camera angles are so much better than they ever used to be. So I think there's a lot of that too. And then you can't overlook the fact that, you know, San Jose made it to the Cup, I mean, last year. So they're going to have a bigger fan base. You know, they're going to have more people that are more interested in that in the Bay Area there, which is, you know, pretty big. And then you've
right.
got, you know, the Kings and the Ducks doing pretty well. And they, so, I mean, that's a huge market in L.A. where there is really no football market in L.A. I mean, they're trying
right.
with the Rams, but that's just not working out. And then you've got Columbus doing really well, you know, so there,
right.
there's your Ohio fan base coming in right now. So, you know, a lot of it has to do with the teams that are doing well that weren't doing well before that, you know, are, you know, increasing. The local crowds are increasing.
Right. And you're exactly right there. You know, the more exposure that these certain markets get, like the L.A. market and Columbus market, the more exposure they get, the more fans they're bringing in. You know, Columbus, I know I have a couple of friends that are Columbus fans, and they said that, you know, the crowd this year has been a lot better, and people are actually buying Columbus Blue Jacket merchandise, whereas before it was just the Cleveland, or what is it, the basketball team, Cleveland Cavaliers?
Cavaliers, yes.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Yeah.
That's one sport I don't follow. But, you know,
obviously.
They were buying LeBron, yeah, they were buying LeBron stuff, and, you know, then they won the championship, which was great for the city. But a lot of those fans are now turning to, okay, well, now there's another sport here, and, hey, this team's doing well too. And that's the great thing when your team's doing well, when you have a city that is, you know, doing well. Like Tampa Bay Lightning, for example, you would think a South Market in Florida would not have a very big fan base, but Tampa Bay seems to just draw them in, and they have been consistently good for a while, so... But, you know, to revert back to Kitty's question, my opinion is I think with the other sports issues, it's going to give hockey a little bit more exposure to people who want to try to find a different outlet for their entertainment value. But do I think that it's more it's becoming more popular? I do think it is, and I think it's not because of the other sports. I think it's just because they're trying to increase the scoring, which is making games more interesting for just your casual fan to watch. But their primetime games that they play, like the games that Jimmy had mentioned, they are it helps hockey out. It helps the sport out in itself, because with having good matchups and good, you know, a lot of scores, that's going to draw in people who might not have watched it in the first place. But that was a great...
Prime example of that is the, you know, the tonight's game is the Rangers and the Flyers, you know, Pittsburgh and New York, two very big markets. And, you know, so you're exposing yourself to not only those markets, but also to, you know, the rest of the country watching two teams that are really, really good play.
And really hate each other.
Right. Well, and one of the other biggest things is, you know, you look at baseball and you look at basketball and you look at football, and, you know, it seems like they have two seasons. They have their regular season, and then they have negotiate for more money season. And that, right. You don't, and you know, where can I go to go do this, and where can I go to go do that? Whereas in hockey, they're more, you know, you don't see them traveling around as much. You see, you know, you see trades happen, but you don't see the guy holding out for, you know, oh, I'm not going to play unless I get paid. No, that just doesn't happen. So I think the fan level of frustration is so much lower in hockey because you have, you know, the perceived notion, at least, that the players are playing because they want to play, not just necessarily because they're getting paid. I mean, granted, they're not living check to check, but they're, but you know what I mean? They're more concerned with the game than they are, do I get that extra $500,000? So
you're exactly right. I mean, they play for the love of the game. And point in case is, you take a, like we were just talking about Matt Cullen. We all know he loves the game. He does not need to play. He decided on his own to come back and play one more season. And he didn't have to. He's 40 years old. He could have retired, but he truly, truly loves the game, and he still has the ability to play at that high level. So, yeah, you're exactly right. These players, the hockey players, play because they absolutely, positively love the game.
Well, and for and Colin's point, too, you know, he at the end of the Cup run last year for Pittsburgh, you know, they finished his house up in Moorhead, Minnesota, where he's going to live. He's from Virginia, but I think his wife's from Moorhead, so that's where they're going to live. And they got that all done, and they're all ready to move into it. And he said, well, you know, that's where we're going to stay unless Pittsburgh calls and asks me to play another year. So it had nothing to do with money, had nothing to do with anything. It's, you know, hey, if they want me to play again, I'll play one more year. So that's the mentality and the mindset, which is different.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I didn't even think about that off the top of my head. Kitty, thank you very, very much for the question. I hope we answered it to the best of our ability. Our second question, Jimmy, comes from Bob. And Bob says, we are halfway through the NHL season. Jimmy had mentioned he thinks the Blackhawks will win the Cup, and Kim says she doesn't know if Pittsburgh will repeat. Have you changed your perspectives on this? I'll let you go first.
Well, you know how I think about Chicago in the postseason. Yeah,
I do.
They're the favorites to win the Cup every year until they lose a series. You know, they're favored in every series. They're favored in, you know, they're the team that, well, because it all starts with goaltending, and they got Crawford. And, you know, he just steps his play up to a different level than every other goaltender does. You know, I mean, you had the fluke last year with Murray for Pittsburgh. I mean, realistically, if you would have asked me this question in January of last year, probably the last two teams I would have picked to be in the Cup Finals would have been San Jose and Pittsburgh. You know, they just,
right.
That's just, there was very little, if any, chance of either one of those teams advancing to the final.
Yeah, because we had talked about it when the playoffs first started. And I know you were dead set on the Blues were the best team in the NHL overall. And you were like, this is their year. This is where they're going to go to the Cup. They're just going to tear it up.
Well, especially after they beat Chicago. You know, I mean, that's your stepping stone. And then the Kings lost, so that opened the door for San Jose. And then suddenly you got, you know, I don't know, the whole thing just kind of evolved weirdly last year.
But that's
the playoff point. Oh, right, exactly.
Yep.
You know, it,
because if you would have asked anybody at this time of year, everybody would have said Washington had the best chance of making it from the East just because of the way they were playing.
Right, and they still probably have the best chance this year. So
right, they probably do. You know, not going to sit there, and they're pretty good this year. They're back where they were kind of last year, but they just came on a little later.
Right. Well, because, I mean, if you look right now, if, you know, if the playoffs were to start today, and that would really mess things up with the All-Star break, but if they were to start today, Washington would play Toronto, whereas Pittsburgh, trying to repeat, would have to go through Columbus.
Right.
And if they managed to beat Columbus, then they would probably have to play Washington at Washington, you know, with Washington have home ice, and then most likely have to beat Montreal. I mean, that's not an easy little run of games there. So, I mean, the odds of them repeating are not very good.
No. Even statistically, it's not very good. It hasn't been done since the Red Wings did it in 98, 99, or 97, and 98.
Yeah. Yeah, that was back in the Eisenman days, but yeah.
Right. I mean, and statistically, we looked this up for a question in our first week, and actually for one of my blogs, we looked it up. And it had only been done 18 times, and most of those were Montreal.
Well, and most of those when there were only six teams, so
right. So it was easier to repeat.
Right. Now,
but to only be done 18 times, just it's an amazing stat out of 100 years.
And once again, from a historical standpoint, I would really like to have it be Minnesota and Columbus playing for the Cup, just because that's only happened once where two expansion teams from the same year have played for the Cup. And I just think that they have, both teams are playing well, both teams are at the top of their divisions for the first time in forever. And to have those two teams to go through, I think would be, you know, I mean, that's history in the making. I think that's classic. I think the last time was, what, 91, 92, when the North Stars and the,
Penguins
played. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only, I'll say, only time that it's ever been done was that one. So it'd be fun to have that happen again.
And, you know, from a hockey fan point of view, to have, you know, to have that kind of Stanley Cup would be fun for me too, as just a hockey fan, because it would be two totally different teams. It wouldn't
mm-hmm.
be the same teams. You know, I'm the type of person, if my team's not in it, just let it be different teams. That's all I ask.
Right. Well,
you
and
know,
it's not like,
but,
you know, Ohio's, I mean, Columbus is, you know, is a pretty good hockey city, you know, and Ohio is a pretty good hockey state, and obviously Minnesota is, so it's not like, you know, it's not like it's not going to be supported and it's not going to be, you know, a big Cup following, you know, and like you say, a lot of teams, you know, a lot of players or people from, you know, the coastal cities are going to go, wow, this is interesting, because, you know, somebody has to win it. And
right.
Either one of those teams won it, you know. And, you know, I think Columbus has only won two hockey games, and I think, you know, two playoff games. And I think the Wild
right.
made it to the Western Conference Finals once. So, I mean, the fact that, you know, one of those teams would have to win it, I think would be really fun. But I think I'm off topic a little bit with what she asked.
No, that's okay. We always get off topic. I think they kind of expect it from us. But, you know, you made some excellent points, you know, even going through, you know, with the cool Stanley Cup. I mean, yeah, I completely agree with that, because it would be two totally different teams. You can't say that, oh, well, this, I'm tired of seeing the Wild in the Stanley Cup Finals, because it hasn't happened in a while, you know, or it has never happened, or, you know, whereas if Chicago or L.A. goes, you're kind of like, Chicago and L.A. again. Or, you know, hey, people would be like, oh, Pittsburgh again. Or, you know, just like my family is.
Well, I don't know. Go Pittsburgh again. Pittsburgh hasn't really. I mean, Pittsburgh was there, what, 8 years ago. And, but other than that, I mean, they really haven't done well in the playoffs. So, you know,
no,
it'd be more
no,
like
they
that.
Usually get bounced out of the first
there's
round.
There's Tampa again.
Right.
How can Tampa lose to L.A. or Chicago this year?
Exactly. Exactly. I know when the Kings played the Devils, I have friends on Facebook that are both, you know, are respective fans. I have Devil fans and I have King fans on my Facebook page. And all through my feed that night, I kept seeing, oh, look, it's the Stanley Cup rematch and it's the same outcome. And I'm like, oh, wow. So you knew the Kings were winning at that point. But, you know, to go back to Bob's question to me, I still don't know. And I will tell you the reason why I say I still don't know. My perspective really hasn't changed. I think in order for them to do a repeat, they're really going to, A, have to stay healthy, which the Penguins have not been able to do on defense this year so far. But, you know, it's still fairly early. And we know how, you know, teams like to make pushes in the end of February, early March. So we'll wait and see then. But, yeah, I still, if I were to look at it statistically, Bob, I would still say no, I don't think they will repeat. I always like to tease Jimmy and be like, you know, I'll just be happy if we're a playoff team again. I don't care if we get bounced out. But, you know, I tend to stand with that agreement. I will just be happy if the Penguins make the playoffs, because I think, you know, that just shows that they're still consistent. Everybody knows that knows the sport of hockey. The Stanley Cup is probably the hardest championship to get.
Especially to repeat. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, and like you say, you know, just making it into the tournament, making it into the final eight in your conference is a huge deal. It's kind of the old, poker adage where, you know, if you still got a chair and you got a chip, you still have a chance to win. It doesn't matter if you're eight or if you're one, you still got a chance to win. So.
Yeah. And, you know, along with defense, and people are probably going to get a little upset, but, you know, it's my opinion. You don't have to agree with it. I still think I'm still iffy on Murray. I don't know if Murray is the goalie of the future. I can't trust him. If the team doesn't score and he doesn't have defense, he really seems to struggle. He made some incredible saves last night, but he also let in a couple of soft goals. And all goalies let in soft goals once in a while, but Murray consistently lets them in at the same spot. So, like last night, for example, Jimmy even brought it up to me. He was like, they just scored through the five hole with no screen in front of him. He had a clear shot. There was one point last night, I think it was the third goal, he still had no clue where the puck was when the Blues started celebrating. So, yeah, he's young, and I get that. He is really young, and he is getting better to a point. He has some incredible games, but those incredible games also come when the Penguins' offense is scoring the way that they're built to score, and when he has the defensive help. If it's one-on-one with him, you're going to kind of hold your breath if you're a Penguin fan. That's just my opinion. So.
Well, and he's got a 2.5 goals against average, you know, and that's for the games that he finishes. So, you know, that means the Penguins have to score 3 goals if they're even going to have a chance of winning that particular game. So,
right.
You know, and when you're going against a team like St. Louis, you know they're coming in, you know they're going to shut you down, you know they're going to trap you in the neutral zone, you know they're going to hit you into the corners, and you know they're going to take the air out of the puck, basically, and make it a short game, and limit your, maybe there was one or two odd man rushes that Pittsburgh had last night.
Right.
If that, you know, so, you know, and that's what Pittsburgh thrives on, is using their speed, and St. Louis took that away, and, you know, Murray just wasn't good enough to hold them off.
Right. And, you know, Fleury, I know on the flip side, Fleury has been struggling, but I still stand firm in my opinion that if Fleury played as many games as Murray has gotten the every other day off and starting, I think he started the last 4 games. If Fleury was in there, I do believe that the more Fleury plays, the better he gets. When it comes to playoff time, sometimes the pressure gets to him. I get that. But all in all, I still think he's our best goalie on the squad. But apparently Sullivan doesn't and disagrees with me. So Murray is, I guess, the starter because he started the last 4 games. We'll see.
They kind of go with streaks too, as far as, you know, I mean, now Murray has had a couple of not as good games, where he's laid in quite a few goals and, you know, and cheap ones at that. So they'll, you know, Fleury will probably come back out after the All-Star break and, you know, and they'll maybe go that route. So.
Right. Yeah, the only plus side
for Pittsburgh having two goaltenders like that is that Fleury understands his role and understands that he's supposed to, you know, mentor this kid, and he's doing a pretty good job of that. And you know,
he's doing a really good job.
Murray still has a long way to go, but you can tell Fleury has, influence on him.
All right. And Scott just tweeted out, Kim, you know Murray's the best. Stop it. So, but, you know, Scott, you're entitled to your opinion, too. We thank you for listening. You know, I'm not saying Murray's a horrible goalie. Please don't take it that way. I'm just saying that if you look at it realistically, he's got a lot of growing to do. So, but I guess sticking with the Penguin theme here, we actually have a question about Sunday's game from Roger. He said, I had the chance to watch the Penguins play on Sunday. Does Crosby make Connor Sheary look better than he is, or has the Penguins finally figured out the perfect complement to him? I'm assuming he's talking about Crosby when he says him. I don't know. Connor Sheary is very interesting. There were a lot of Penguin fans that last year were like, trade him. He's too small. He lets some pucks go by.
That's half the Penguin team is too small.
Right. I mean, when you compare them to other teams, watching them play the Blues last night, yeah, they are small. And, you know, Connor Sheary actually was undrafted, and a lot of people don't know that. He played at UMass Lowell, I believe. And so he actually finished college because, as Connor liked to say, he wanted to grow into his body. But to answer your question, I mean, Crosby's going to make anybody on his line look better just because of the caliber player he is. But I personally, my personal opinion is that first line with Connor Sheary, Brian Rust, and Sidney Crosby, I think they're the perfect complement to each other because they're all roughly about the same size. They're all very fast on their skates. Rust is extremely fast. He can go coast to coast really quick. And Rust is not afraid to go into the corner and fish out the puck. So he's not afraid to do some hitting. He's not afraid to take a hit either. He's not afraid to face plant or whatnot. But I think that Mike Sullivan has kind of found, I wouldn't call it the perfect complement, but I think he found a good complement to Crosby there. What do you think?
Well, there's a few different schools of thought on that. They brought in a couple of third-line forwards to play up with their number one center and probably arguably one of the best centers in the NHL. So what they were able to do was take those third-line forwards and put them and it's taken a while for them to gel as a line to the point where, you know, Crosby doesn't have to score 5 goals a night anymore. You know, he can actually pass and get assists like he used to do before, which he's so good at. And they finally figured out that, you know, I just have to be where I'm supposed to be, you know, and he'll pass me open and I can get a goal here. So what that does is it moves, okay, so now the guys that were playing your first line forwards are now your second and third line forwards. So now you have 3 lines that are good as opposed to, you know, maybe 2. And, you know, that kind of strengthens the whole outlook of the team and makes them deeper and makes them more difficult to play against. And then, you know, and I kind of saw this I was watching the Hockey Day Minnesota, and Eden Prairie was out there, and they have, I can't remember his name, but he's like the number 5 prospect for skaters in North America. And he's so good and so talented that they brought up a couple of sophomores to play on the line with him. And it's kind of the same thing, you know, and granted, he's not Sidney Crosby, but, you know, in 4 or 5 years, he might think he is. Middleton, I think his name is. He's just that good. And so they brought up these kids to play with him. And he makes them better. And not only does he make them better, because he's good enough to make them better, it gives them more depth on more lines.
That's a good point, because, you know, I was just sitting here thinking as you were talking about the line depth and everything. If you look right now, the injury bug has kind of hit Pittsburgh. And so they're calling up a lot of the two-way players right now from Wilkes-Barre. Jake Guentzel is playing on the Malkin line, which is, if you want to count it, it's line two. So, you know, Malkin's playing here with another rookie, but they play so well together. And everybody knows Malkin is a good caliber player. On any other team, he would be the best player on the team, in my opinion. And so, you know, does Malkin make Guentzel look better? If you knew Guentzel's history, like Jimmy does, you would say no, that Guentzel is probably really just that good because he comes from a very good hockey family. But, you know, that's a really good point about the line depth and how that helps make that first line look even better.
Well, because Crosby, and they finally figured out, and if you look at, you know, say the first, you know, 15 games that Crosby played this year, when, you know, once he got back from his injury, and you look at, say, the last 15, you know, first 15 he had lots of goals. The last 15 he's had way more assists than goals. And that's where Crosby is good, and that's when Pittsburgh is good, is when he's distributing the puck to other players and not trying to score on his own.
Right. You're exactly right. We've seen it. You know, if you want to understand what Jimmy's saying, I'll kind of put it a little bit in layman terms here. A lot of people disagreed with the whole Conn Smythe last year. They thought that it should have went to Phil Kessel or Nick Bonino, somebody else. But what they missed is the part where Crosby was still teaching these younger guys on the ice during the games, telling them to get in certain positions, I'll feed you the puck, just shoot it. So, you know, that's where Jimmy is going with that. You know, for people that may not know as much about hockey, just to kind of put it in the layman terms a little bit. But, yeah, Roger, I'm glad you called in or emailed us that question. That was a good question. I even had to kind of, like, go back and look a little bit and figure out, you know, I watched the games, but, you know, Jimmy had excellent points as well. So I hope we answered your question. The next question comes from Aubrey. She wanted to know, Boston seems to be imploding and quickly. They have a lot of talent on the team with Marchand, Backes, and Tukarask. The head coach said after Sunday's loss that the team lacks talent. What's your opinion on this?
Well, I'll let you handle this first, Kimmy.
Okay. Well, you know what I noticed in the game, because I watched Boston. And one of the things that I noticed is David Backes, who came from St. Louis, he played center, if I'm not mistaken, in St. Louis. But they have him as a winger in Boston, and he just doesn't seem to play as well there. The coach, if he's fired anytime soon, he's going to have a job in like 5 minutes because he is a really good head coach. But I just don't know if the players are playing their strength right now. Sometimes, and this is just my opinion, but sometimes I think if you get too much talent on a team, then you have to deal with the egos. And sometimes the chemistry doesn't necessarily work out. I don't agree with the head coach coming out and saying that the team lacks talent. I think that kind of screams, hey, I've kind of lost my team here. But that's just where I was coming from on that. You know, the biggest thing to me was David Backes. That was a huge offseason, you know, signing for Boston. And to see him not play center was kind of odd.
Well, and if you actually look at the entire quote, you know, with instead of just looking at the pieces that were cut up and thrown around on the Facebook and the internet and all that kind of stuff, he didn't really say the team didn't have talent. He said they didn't have effort. And they don't have the kind of – they lack the talent to not have the effort. And that's a big difference. You know, you have all-star players, and if they're not playing – if your stars aren't your stars, you're not going to win very many games. And they don't have – they're not, you know, they're not as deep as a lot of the other teams are. I mean, they have some really high-end players on that club, but – they don't work, they're not going to win. And that was more the point I think the coach was trying to make, not that, you know, his team wasn't very good. It's just that, you know, hey guys, if you don't finish your checks, if you don't get pucks deep, if you don't, you know, get pucks to the net, you're not going to win very many games. So he put some of it on the ownership and the general manager, as far as, you know, maybe we need a couple more players to make this run. But I think a lot of it he put on, you know, calling out his players, you know.
Right.
And some of the I don't know, some of the feedback that I've read from, you know, former players, you know, if he'd have done that, you know, to me, you know, I'd be out there, you know, with I put an extra, you know, an extra edge on my skates because I need to get out there and play that much harder the next game because obviously I'm not doing something right. And I mean, just cause he has that, I mean, he's the most tenured coach in the NHL, you know, he's what, 10, 11 years. And I mean, that's unheard of in this sport. So I think that's more what he was calling out, not saying that they didn't have talent. He was just saying that, you know, if you guys aren't going to play, we don't have the – we can just slip it in the net anytime we want to kind of talent to win the game.
Right. Yeah, and I don't know if our listeners may have known, but Marchand is actually going to a hearing to decide whether or not he needs to be suspended for a couple of games, for a couple of cheap shots that he has given in games. So I wanted to bring that up since we were talking about Boston. But, yeah, I kind of saw the headlines come through, but to be honest, I didn't click on the article and read it, so I probably should have, but I didn't. Yeah, when the media takes things out of context, it definitely makes a bigger difference. So.
Well, you can never let the facts get in the way of a good story.
Right, exactly. But, you know, to talk about Tuukka Rask for a little bit, he actually had left that game on Sunday. He has he was having vision and headache problems, and they're thinking that it's migraine-related. So I don't know if he's going to be sidelined for any amount of time. I think he's still playing in the All-Star game, but I know the last thing I had heard and that had come through on my text messages and whatnot said that he was meeting with a specialist to discuss his vision and headache problems. So
if they determine that he's concussed, then you have to miss a game or two. If you miss the All-Star game, that's out the window because concussion is a whole different deal than a lower body injury. I mean, concussions are, you know, very important and deservedly so. So,
right.
If they determine that that's the case, then, you know, it makes more sense. Just shut them down. You know, I think they play, don't they play Pittsburgh tomorrow?
Yeah, they play Penguins tomorrow night, yes.
Yeah.
So I'll
you know, just
to
shut
pay
them,
a little
shut
bit
them
more
down,
attention to
shut
that.
Them down for that game. Give him, you know, give him 4 or 5 days off. Let him get his vision back. Let him get, you know, his senses back, you know, I mean, that because, you know, at the end of the day, that's more important than anything else. So
right.
I guess that's, you know, that's the way I would look at it.
Right. Yep. We are actually going to take our next commercial break, Jimmy, and come back and finish up our mailbag segment. And then we will jump into college hockey, which is there's a big tournament coming up this weekend. I know Jimmy's excited to talk about that one. So we're going to take this quick commercial break here, and we will be right back.
The water in Flint, Michigan is making people sick. You want to help? Flint Stock Productions needs your assistance. Flint Stock Productions is a nonprofit organizing several events that help children affected by the water crisis in Flint. The funding assists doctor and medical costs not covered by insurance and also replaces contaminated appliances of Flint residents. Flint Stock 2016 is dedicated to maintaining clean water in their community. Visit FlintStock2016.com. Again, that's FlintStock2016.com.
Bob's Big Bend Bowling. Stop by for some awesome food and bowling fun at Bob's Big Bend Bowling, located at 119 East Main Avenue, Ritzville, Washington. Or call ahead to reserve your lanes today at 509-659-0540. Open Monday through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Bob's Big Bend Bowling.
All right, guys, we are back. We have a couple more mailbag questions to finish up, and then we will there are just a couple other things we wanted to discuss NHL-wise, and then we're going to jump into hockey, or college hockey. We're already talking hockey, Kim. Oh, my goodness. So our next question comes from Matt, and he wants to know, what are we looking forward to during the All-Star break, or the All-Star game? I am actually, I'm really excited to watch the Skills Challenge. I like the Skills Relay race. I think that's fun. Or the Skills Relay, I think is what they call it. What about you, Jimmy?
I'm really excited that a lot of players get to have a few days off and get healthy.
Somehow I knew you were going to say that.
There's not much to this. I mean, they keep trying, you know, the 3-on-3 thing. I don't get that. I don't know.
I guess if you like goalies, 3-on-3 should be fun because the goalies are going to have to, what'd they say last night on the one game I was watching, the goalies are really going to have to stretch out for this game.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's, I don't know, it's kind of ridiculous, but you know, that's what they decided to do. So,
right.
The only All-Star game that actually is fun to watch and really means anything is the Major League Baseball one, because they actually just keep playing. They play the same as they do during the regular season because they're just out there hitting and fielding, and it doesn't really matter
right.
if they're, you know, playing in the regular season or if they're playing in the postseason or if they're playing in the All-Star game. They're out there hitting and fielding. So.
Right. And Mike just shouted me out on Facebook.
I would be surprised if anybody runs anybody into the boards. You know, I'd be surprised if anybody hip checks anybody. You know, that's just not going to happen. So you're
right,
not going to get the same brand of hockey that you watch the rest of the season. They're just, it's like watching the Pro Bowl in football. It's like, oh, might as well play flag football. So.
Mike actually just said on Facebook, he just messaged me and said he's actually looking forward to seeing Crosby play an All-Star game. We heard that stat last night, didn't we?
Yes.
For those that don't know, he's been, how do I want to say, he's been voted in to 7 All-Star games or elected to 7 All-Star games and has played 1. So, thanks, Mike. That was really cute. I'm looking forward to it just because, you know, I like to watch the skill stuff on Saturday night or Saturday afternoon. And I think that's on NHL Network, if I'm not mistaken. So if you want to watch that, then the actual game is Sunday. And looking at the schedule here, it is, what's the schedule? The Atlantic and Metropolitan play each other, and then the Central and Pacific play each other, and then whoever wins goes and plays each other. So,
right.
It should be fun. like I said,
yeah,
my favorite
Pro Bowl's on,
definitely
on Sunday,
the skills
too,
challenge.
So that'll be fun. It'll be a lot of useless athletics to watch.
Mindless entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, it should be fun to watch. Some good teams.
Well,
it'll be
fun to watch because it'll be a spectacle. It's not, you know, what we're used to, but it'll be different.
It'll be fun to see the guys actually having fun, just being on the ice and having fun instead of being so serious about everything.
Exactly.
That was a great question, Matt. So our final question that came in this week is how much, and this comes from McKenzie, how much faith do you put into the NHL power rankings? Right now they have the Caps at number one, the Wild at number two, and the Penguins at number three. Do you agree or disagree? Me personally, I've never put much stock into anything power ranking-wise. Because, you can't really argue with who's on top. I mean, they're going to go with who's the best team, who's the hottest team, et cetera, et cetera. With the Caps at number one, I mean, they have been, when the power rankings actually came out, they had been one of the hotter teams, and they were, I think they're still in first place overall. But, you know, you can't really argue with that. But, again, they're just power rankings. They're not, the players have to actually execute the games. So
well, and it's something the NHL came up with and ESPN came up with for the NHL, and they've really had, or NFL, and they've really, you know, and they've had a good time with it, and, you know, people think this is important and that is important. If you look at it, you know, whoever they pick in week one is no longer anywhere near it in week 17 in the NFL, and it's pretty much the same thing in hockey. It just gives, you know, fans and people in different markets something to complain about if their team's not high enough up in the rankings.
Or talk about, you know, if they agree or disagree. I mean, I'm sitting here looking at the overall league standings, and Washington's still number one, Columbus is actually two, Minnesota's three, Pittsburgh's four, Montreal's five, Chicago's six, San Jose's seventh, the Rangers are eighth, the Ducks are ninth, and the Oilers are tenth. I mean, you look at the power rankings, Caps are first, Wild are second, and the Penguins are third. I mean, I guess, where's Columbus in that? That would be my only question. But, I mean, to the most part, I guess I would have to kind of agree with their power rankings to a point, but I don't really put much stock in it. I kind of watch the games to see where teams are performing, and I kind of look at the differential, you know, like, you look, Washington's a plus 51 right now because they were consistently blowing people out there for a while. But they got shut out last night by the Senators. And your Wild won last night, right? 3-2.
Yeah, they just keep kind of sneaking them out. But
yeah. So that was a great question, McKenzie. I don't even know. I'm sure there are some people out there that didn't even realize that they had power rankings that came out weekly, unless you're really following. But that was an excellent question. So sticking here with the NHL for a little bit, let's talk about the Islanders. This team is beating good teams now. You know, firing a coach sometimes is just what the doctor ordered.
Well, and sometimes that's all you need, and sometimes it isn't, and you never really know. And the East is so messed up anyway, it doesn't really matter. And by messed up, I don't mean in necessarily a bad way, but it's like if you don't win, you tie.
Right.
So everybody's got the same amount of points because everybody's tying.
You know? Right.
So you got, what, 1, 2, 3... Four, five teams with 9 overtime points, and one team with 10 overtime points. I mean, that's just ridiculous.
Right.
That's a lot of points that you're getting for not winning a game.
It is. I like to tell people when I talk to them and in discussions and stuff about the Metropolitan Division, I like to tell them that, it's too close for comfort right now. It's kind of like everybody's bunched up together. And then you look at the Atlantic Division, which the Islanders are in because they're sixth place now. But they're in the Metro. I mean, they're only, what, 5 points? Out from Philly, who has the second wild card spot right now?
Well, 5 through 10 in the East is at 49 points, and Philly's at 54. You know, and then you've got Boston at 54, and you have Florida at 50. I mean, the entire Eastern Conference is in play for the playoffs this year, which is crazy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, when you look at it, it's just nuts. And no, Toronto, I think, has the second wild card spot right now. No, it's Philly. Okay, I had to look. Sorry.
Look at the last spot in the Atlantic. So.
In the Atlantic, yeah, which is crazy because, you know, speaking of Toronto, I watched them the last two nights. They are on fire. I would not want to play the Islanders or Toronto because both of those teams, they started out slow, but as the season has progressed, or as the marathon has progressed, they have really come on strong. Toronto has had back-to-back shutouts, and this is a young team. That's kind of scary. I know Toronto fans are very excited because I've had people say, oh, my gosh, we've waited 40 years to see a team like this, and, you know, you have two rookies, Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. That are leading the charge, and
they're 1 and 2 as far as scoring for rookies, and it's, I mean, that's unheard of until probably next year when Arizona does it with the two kids they're bringing in next year. So I mean, it's
right.
It's kind of an interesting thing the way, you know, the balance of power is going to change here real quickly.
Oh, yeah.
In the NHL.
And, you know, you've always said, you've said on this show a couple of times, you have to be really bad in order to get those good Austin Matthews, Mitch Marner type players. But once you get them and you get them acclimated to playing in the National Hockey League and they start playing up to their potential that you know they are, you know, you just watch out because there are teams that are, well, Detroit's a prime example here. They're in last place in the Atlantic Division right now. They've been
sort of. They're tied for fifth.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, in the Atlantic Division, they're
last place.
Right.
Right.
But you look at them for what, the last 15-20 years, they have consistently been good. Now all those young kids that they've drafted are older, and they're not getting necessarily the better draft choices. So once you're up there, the only way to go is back down, and you just kind of have to start all over again and start rebuilding with that young talent. It's kind of like a vicious cycle.
Well, and lately you've had, you know, so many just unbelievably talented players every year in the draft. You know, you're looking at Liney, you're looking at Matthews, you're looking at Connor McDavid, you know,
right.
Marner, you know, you didn't necessarily have that before. So having a top draft pick wasn't as important because you just kind of got the run of the mill kid. And but you know, lately they've just been, you know, one after another after another after another. And it's been kind of interesting to watch.
Right. Yeah, it has been. And they're fun. The Toronto Maple Leafs right now, they look like they're actually having fun playing hockey. Whereas last year or the year before, I've watched a handful of their games at most, and they didn't look like they were having very much fun. But, you know, you see these two rookies on the bench and when they're not on the ice, and they're having fun. They're, you know, dancing along to the music on the bench, and, you know, when they're at commercials and whatnot, or they're fixing ice or fighting or what's going on the ice, they're having fun. And I think that that's a big difference, you know, when you're not all business all the time and you actually have fun. I think that's when your game really starts coming together.
Well, and they're such a young team, too. They don't know any better. They don't know that they're supposed to do things this way or that way or what. You know, they just go out there and they're playing like they did last year when they're playing at, well, you know, whatever high school they're playing at, or at juniors or what have you. You know, they're young kids. You know, they're, what, 19, 20 years old, if that. So,
right.
You know, a lot of that team is that way. So,
right.
Edmonton's the same way, you know. And you know, now that Liney's back, Winnipeg's going to be that way too. So it's fun and refreshing to watch. And,
right.
You know, and there's more of these young kids coming down the pipeline now that there probably ever used to be. So, you know, the future looks fun.
Right. Yep. And then, you know, speaking of younger guys and people that people may not have heard of, the NHL Three Stars of the Week this week, they were different. For those that didn't see, they were Connor Sheary, TJ Oshie, and Thomas Greiss from the New York Islanders. He's the goaltender for the Islanders, if you didn't know that. I just kind of wanted to throw that in just because it for me, it's fun to see the Three Stars of the Week come out, and you may not recognize them, so then you click on the article and you actually read, you know, what they've done. You know, Sheary was on fire for the Penguins. He had the week that he was chosen, which was this upcoming week, but he ranks fourth on the Penguins offense with 34 points. When you're talking about being in the company of some of your, you know, you never thought Connor Sheary would get that. Thomas Greiss went 2-0-1. He had a .98 goals against average, 971 save percentage, and he had two shutouts. And then TJ Oshie had 3 goals and 3 assists in 3 games to help the Capitals tumble to the top of the league, and he helped them also get 5 out of the possible 6 standing points, which is, it's a good week.
Yeah, of the three, the one that surprises me the least is Oshie, obviously, because, I mean, he's proven to be that good of a player. But, you know, and we discussed this a little bit when we were talking about, you know, the Crosby question, in that, you know, Sheary's really found his role on the line with Crosby and figured out, you know, hey, you know, if I put myself here, he'll give me the puck, and all I have to do is tap it in and I get a goal.
Sometimes, though, and I have to admit, I always get a good giggle, because sometimes it looks like after Sheary had scored, when he was, you know, on fire with those 6 goals and 9 points, he almost looks surprised that the pass came and went into the net. Like, there was one against Boston where he was still on his knees for like a minute or two, and he was just like, oh my gosh, I scored, but how? So they were all turning around,
right,
looking up at the scoreboard. And, you know, that just, those kind of things just crack me up, because, you know, the game's so fast, and sometimes you just don't realize how you scored.
Well, that's the thing that, you know, Crosby's getting more comfortable with him and Russ as far as line mates. And, you know, and like I said, that's only a good thing for Pittsburgh. So they
right.
just need to find
yep.
somebody to play defense for them. So.
Exactly. All right, we are going to take our last set of commercial breaks here, and then we're going to come back and talk about some college.
Bob's Big Ben Bowling. Stop by for some awesome food and bowling fun at Bob's Big Ben Bowling, located at 119 East Main Avenue, Ritzville, Washington. Or call ahead to reserve your lanes today at 509-659-0540. Open Monday through Fridays, 11 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Saturdays, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. That's Bob's Big Ben Bowling.
Big Worm Customs is a company that does it all, from design services to home improvements to vehicle customization, all at great prices and payment options.
Call now for your free estimate. 248-595-6618. 248-595-6618. Or online at facebook.com/bigwormcustoms.
Okay, we are back, and we are going to be talking college hockey. If you guys want to call in and jump in on college hockey as well, our number is 646-668-8467. So the rankings on the men's side got a little shook up this week, didn't they?
Well, you and I kind of talked about this on Sunday because we normally discuss that. And, you know, it didn't surprise me that Penn State fell. They made it up to number one and then they got exposed. Duluth, you know, made it back up to number two. It doesn't surprise me that Boston University is number one, and Denver's number three. The top three teams, actually even, you know, I guess you can include Penn State into that. They've been kind of just jumbling around a little bit the last, you know, couple weeks as far as who's one, who's two, who's three, who's four, because they're, I mean, for the most part, their conference schedules are getting to be really tough, especially when you think of Duluth and Denver. They probably have the toughest, you know, as it goes. So, but this weekend coming up, it's kind of more of a non-conference weekend for most of the teams. And it should be kind of interesting the way some of these are going to play out.
Yeah, I know. You have another tournament coming up for college up there. It's, what is it, Minnesota?
Well, it's called the College Hockey North Stars Cup. And the thing of it is there's five Division I hockey teams in Minnesota, and every year they take four to play. And so this year, first round is I think they're 24th now, Minnesota State, playing against Bemidji State, which is number 20, but also is leading the WCHA conference.
Right. And then Minnesota from number 6, the Big Ten Conference, correct? And
yep,
number
they're
two,
leading
Minnesota
the Big Ten Conference. Yeah, well, who's leading the NCHC? So, I mean, you've got three conference championships playing in the tournament this weekend. So, I mean, it's going to be some good hockey at the Xcel Energy Center.
Right. Now, will that affect the standings at all for somebody that may not quite understand how the college hockey standings work? Say,
well,
for example, number two, Duluth loses.
Right. Well, it'll affect their ranking as far as in the polls and in the pairwise, but it won't affect their standings inside their own conference because these are not conference games. Even though, some of these teams may be in the same conference, they don't. I think Minnesota State and Bemidji State are both in the WCHA. So, but this is considered non-conference.
Gotcha. So it won't affect like the overall rankings.
It'll affect the overall rankings as far as like the polls go and the pairwise goes, but it won't affect the standings as far as the individual conference.
In the conference. Games. Okay, that makes sense. So that should be, you'll actually get to watch that because that'll be televised for you. I probably will have to find out where it's streaming and post that link for anybody who's interested in watching that. But you have a busy weekend again in Minnesota, from what I understand. Don't you have the pond tournament coming up as well?
Oh, yeah, the pond hockey championships. Those are fun. You get a bunch, you know, and they... all kinds of age groups. You got the, you know, the 40 plus people. You got the, you know, the 18 and unders. You got the, you know, the middle, you know, the 18 to 20s or 20 to 25s or whatever different groups. You know, all kinds of different age groups that play, and it's different. There's like 25 to 30 rinks out on Lake Nokomis this year. I think it's Nokomis, maybe it's Nokomis or it's Harriet. I don't know. One of the lakes, and they set up like I said, 25 to 30 rinks. And the boards are only 18 inches high, and they play with a whole different set of rules than you're used to for the most part. I mean, you can't, there's no slap shots involved. There's actually no goaltender. You construct your own net, and it's, I think it's 8 inches above, 8 inches wide by 8 inches tall in two different spots on both sides. And you're not allowed to have a goaltender. You're not allowed to even pretend you're a goaltender. It's all just about shooting the puck and having a good time. You can saucer pass as long as it doesn't go against above the knees. But it's mostly just a bunch of people out there just having a whole lot of good fun. And it's, I mean, there's no trophies. There's no, you know, prize money. There's no nothing. They just go out there, and it's for pride. And each division does get their name inscribed on the, what they call the golden shovel. So, and it's kind of ironic because, you know, before each game, both teams have to go out there with shovels and shovel off the snow off the ice so that they can play. So, that's the extent. It's pond hockey. It's not
right.
Professional hockey. It's not college hockey. It's not any of that. It's pond hockey. It's good old-fashioned, you know, let's lace them up and go.
Right. Yeah, I wanted, since you were talking about the North Star Tournament, I wanted to kind of get that in there for people who aren't familiar with how the state of hockey actually works. And pond hockey is definitely, I believe, more native to you guys than it is the rest of the United States. I'll post the link that Jimmy gave me last night about the pond hockey tournament for other people who are interested. They have some great videos and background information and everything on those. But, yeah, I just kind of wanted to slip that in since we were talking about college hockey and the North Star tournament. Going back.
It'd be tough to find a pond, Kimmy, or a lake, Kimmy, in Maryland that you could put 30 rinks on.
Well, yeah, right now you couldn't because it's been like 50 degrees. It's not even winter here anymore. You would just
right.
Walk out into the water. You could play water polo, but that's about it. But, yeah, it's been totally not winter here, and I don't like it. So I don't like it one bit. Especially my birthday was just last Saturday, and usually it snows on my birthday, and this year it was like 55 degrees, and I'm thinking, it's not my birthday.
Right. No. Did you get anything good for your birthday?
I did. My husband is not as big of a hockey fan as I am, and right, but he actually indulges my love of the sport. So I am happy to announce, because I've said on this show how many times, I want to go see a Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins game. Well, I am going to see the Wilkes-Barre-Scranton Penguins versus the Hershey Bears on April 14th. Very excited. I will bring back lots of information that I can from the AHL game that I go see. I'm very excited. He got me actually ice side seats, too, so instead of being up a little bit more, we're actually going to be closer to the ice, which means I'll have to dress a lot warmer. But I'm very excited about that. And then he got me my Matt Cullen jersey, or my Matt Cullen sweater, actually. I'm so excited about that. And then, you know, I got taken out to dinner, just like I usually do. So it was a wonderful birthday. The jersey and the tickets were just, I screamed when I opened it up. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is great. So I'm very excited about that. I did. I had a great birthday. I'm excited. I'm really excited to go. April just can't come soon enough.
Right.
But, you know, he definitely indulged my love of the sport, so I guess after so many years, they finally know you.
Right. They finally get it right. So
that's right. So you know, I do want to jump back into college because we were talking about the rankings. Jimmy kind of went through those really quickly. I'll go through them again. Boston University is the new number one in the, on the men's side. Minnesota Duluth, actually, and I was surprised about this because they actually got 25 votes for number one, and Boston University only got 22. So I was surprised that Minnesota Duluth didn't move up to number one. But you had it right. Like Jimmy said, we talk about this on Sunday, usually about the college games, because he usually is messaging me and like, okay, the games are over. This is where I think people are going to be. And then I come out on Monday and I'm like sending him a text and, well, I hate to tell you this, but you're right again. So, but yeah, so Minnesota Duluth is number two. Denver's number three. Penn State fell from number one to number four. Union
now,
came up from
last week, Penn State had 30 first place votes.
Mhm.
This week, I think they had one.
One. Mhm. Yep, they had one.
It should be interesting. And what I saw and what I see and what I don't see or whatever is, you know, subjective to my point of view. But I did watch the Gophers play Wisconsin, and you know, Wisconsin has been kind of down the last few years, but they came in and they hired a whole new coaching staff. You know, basically Tony Granato's running the show now, and they have a lot of talent on that team. And just because they're Wisconsin, and you know, you want to play if you're an American hockey player, you know, that's a destination school. So now they have Tony Granato coaching. And that team seems to get better every week. And they, you know, they keep getting stronger. And I mean, they gave the Gophers everything they wanted to this last weekend. And the Gophers are supposed to be good. But, you know,
right.
I mean, granted, I mean, rivalry involved there and all that kind of good stuff too. But, you know, I can see a scenario where Wisconsin could come back, you know, up into the top 20 and, you know, maybe make a run at the Big Ten Conference Tournament. And, you know, play another spoiler role as far as, you know, who gets in, who doesn't get in.
That should be interesting if they can make the push. I watched that big Wisconsin-Denver game a couple weeks ago, and I was very impressed with how Wisconsin came back, and Denver kind of stole their thunder when they did come back and almost tie the game. Denver switched out their goalies, so they kind of stole the thunder of the Wisconsin there, and Wisconsin ended up losing that game, but they are impressive to watch.
Well, you know, you have to remember, too, Denver's, you know, one of the best teams, you know, and at times the best team in the country. So the fact that Wisconsin's playing them tough, and like I say, you know, it's still January. We still have the entire month of February left to go. They've got Wisconsin's got a series, I think, with Ohio State coming up this weekend. That'll be huge to determine exactly where Wisconsin's at. And, you know, because that makes a determination as to, you know, your seeding. You know, Penn State's off this weekend, which is weird. You know, they were able to buy this late in the season. But like I say, it should be interesting the way some of these conferences will, you know, shape up. You know, you've got, you know, the Atlantic where you got Air Force on top, and you've got WCHA where you got Bemidji State on top, and neither one of those teams are, you know, in the top 16 in the pairwise. So now you're looking at 14. So if you get an upset like, Wisconsin or, who knows who from Hockey East, you know, that, you never know who's going to win from there. So, I mean, you may be down to, you know, maybe 14 in the pairwise as far as the teams that are going to get in. So, you know, with the conference championships. So it's going to be an interesting month of February.
I was going to say, Jimmy's going to make me pay a lot more attention to the February, and especially March is when the tournament starts. So February, you're right, it's going to be the biggest month, and we'll both be paying extra close attention to that because we're going to want to let you guys know who we think is going to make it to the tournament and who we think is going to not. So it definitely, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and it should be fun because of the locations that they have picked are going to be interesting as far as, you know, because they always try to put the teams that are closest. And you know, some of them I'm surprised as far as, you know, the regional sites as to what they picked. But, you know, it will be fun. And, you know, that sometimes that kind of influences, you know, the bubble teams as to who gets in too. So, I'm really looking forward to the way this works. As far as the women's game goes,
mm-hmm.
As we flip the calendar into February, that's going to be very interesting because you got Wisconsin playing Minnesota Duluth, and you've got Minnesota playing Minnesota Duluth, and you got Minnesota playing Wisconsin. And traditionally, those are the three teams that win the championship. You know, Clarkson won once, and I think they're in third place this year. But you know, as far as the poll goes, so
right.
And
yeah,
they're
the
all in the
side
same.
Didn't change very much at all. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 all stayed the same, which is Wisconsin, Minnesota, Duluth, Clarkson's 3, Minnesota's 4, St. Lawrence's 5th. But then we get down, and Cornell moved up from 10th to 8th. Princeton stayed at 9, and Quinnipiac dropped from 8th to 10th.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine. No, it would be from a pure college hockey standpoint or what have you, it'd be really fun if, you know, we can get some of these other smaller schools, not necessarily smaller in size, but you know, teams with less wins, if we can get them to come in and make a serious challenge for the Frozen Four, I think that would be fun. I think that'd be good for college hockey instead of just having it be Minnesota Duluth or Minnesota or Wisconsin every year. Because I think there's only been one time where they have won. So it'd be nice, you know, even if Clarkson got back in there again, but it'd be more fun, like you say, if you know you get a team like Quinnipiac in there. If you get, you know, St. Lawrence is always seems to be just hanging off the corner. So it'd be fun if they could do well.
Definitely. And can you believe we are actually at the end of our show? That hour and a half went so fast this week. You know, I want to wrap it up by saying, you know, first and foremost, thank you guys for listening. Thank you for the questions. And, you know, I know we didn't have anybody really call in tonight. I'm still trying to figure out how we can get our Canadian fans to call in because for some of the Canadian fans, it is long distance, and I do understand that. So I do appreciate you keeping in contact with me on Facebook. I know you guys are listening. Really appreciate it. So, like I said, you know, keep checking out our social media pages. We're going to pose our questions for the Valentine's Week special. And if you are just joining us or had joined us late, our Valentine's Day special is Kim's top 10 most attractive hockey players and Jimmy's hardest hitters. So it should be fun. We will actually see you guys back here next week. Hope everyone has a safe one. And thanks, Jimmy, for being my co-host.
Thanks. You guys have a good night.